Pastor Josh.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wade, for letting me bring this word. This is the first word that I've ever had where I actually asked if I could bring it. Normally, I just kind of wait for the Lord to prompt him, but I felt like this was important and timely for the body right now in the direction that the Lord is taking us. So let's pray, and then we'll go there. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you. We are here of our own free will to hear your voice and to worship you. Lord, we want to know you. And Father, right now, I step out of the way and I ask your Holy Spirit to speak, and I ask you to be the centerpiece of the rest of this day. And I thank you, Father, we all press in right now. We purpose, we want to hear you. On purpose. Not passively, Lord. I want to hear you. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, this word that I have, it came out of a time for me of correction and building by the Lord. It's been about 8 months. And how many of you ever had that, where the Lord sheds light on something where you maybe didn't believe right? Gail's the only honest one. She raised her hand. And you know what? It can be crippling, can it? But it yields something amazing. And so that's where this came from. So let's go right to it. The message title is Walk in Light. Now, I'm going to warn you up front. What I'm asking you not to do is say, I know this. Don't do that. Because I didn't know this. This is fresh. It's real. It's now. Amen? So please press in with me. Our main text is 1 John chapter 1. And if you have a Bible, I would recommend you turn there. I am a firm believer that physical paper Bibles are more anointed. That's just my opinion. But it's usually true. Yes. Because I don't know about you guys, but if I have a cell phone in my hand, I get distracted. People text you and all that. So, all right, let's look at 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Say at all. That if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Pay very close attention to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay. So, what I feel like God is asking his church to do right now is to walk as we're called. There's a lot of churches that believe right, but what I feel like the Lord is asking us is to walk properly, to walk in light. And what the Lord revealed to me through this time of correction was, he gave me this phrase, dark corners. There are dark corners in all of our lives, and they cost. They cost. Amen? So, I want to talk for a minute about these dark corners. What he kind of showed me is, like, let's see if there's a corner in the room that's really dark besides the stage. So, if you look back here towards the cry room, you see below the exit sign? See how that corner is just a little bit darker than everything else? See what I'm talking about? Now imagine your life is a series of rooms. All of us have corners in our house where darkness is. Now, what can consist of those dark corners are insecurities, injuries, anger, lust, covetousness, pride, lack of submission. These are dark corners. Here's the thing about dark corners. You didn't notice it till I pointed it out. And it's something that we will tolerate and pass off as meaningless until it's pointed out. Do you see it? Okay. So let's go to Ephesians 5. And while you're turning there, I'll expound on this a little bit more. See, the last horror movie I saw years ago, the premise of the movie was this creature could only come alive if there was darkness. And so there's this whole town, and the whole town has flashlights and street lights, and they never let it get dark ever, because this creature, literally, if somebody casts a shadow on something, it'll come out of that, okay? And the Lord sort of used my imagination, my memory of that movie, saying it's kind of like that. If there's dark pockets in our lives, that's a door. Amen? And I'm going to show you now what this isn't. Let me say this up front before I get into this. Because people like me with a bent that will, you can self-condemn easily, you'll hear works in this. And that's not at all what I'm saying. This is not earning anything. Okay? What this is it's honoring our lives to the Lord. Or it's honoring the Lord with our lives. It's presenting our bodies, the physical realm, as a living sacrifice. Amen? Okay. So Ephesians 5, and let's start in verse 8. Now, I don't have a lot of scripture, but the scripture that I do have, it's good chunks. Is it okay to read the Bible in church? Do I have to be in a big rush? Okay. Nobody's going to start breathing heavy if I read a lot of Bible? Okay. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Remember that, expose. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. Okay? For whatever makes manifest is light. Here's a key in that verse. Did you know that you cannot hide your insecurities and brokenness and all those things in light? You can only hide things in shadows. The way God does things is not to hide things. He says, put it in the light. Amen? He doesn't say, hide it so people think less of you. He doesn't say, pretend it's not there and call it faith. He says, put it in the light. Amen? Because anything other than putting it in the light is casting a shadow on it, and shadows are the tools of the enemy. Right. And here's the other thing. Nothing stays neutral. Everything grows or dies. So the shadows we allow to stay only grow, and stuff only grows in them. Amen? Well, not amen. That means so be it. We don't want that. All right. Ephesians, or we already read Ephesians, didn't we? I did want to mention, before we get into, because I have some practical things. I planned on reading this, but it's a whole chapter. And I got a good glimpse of what walking in light looks like. So I'm going to recommend, this is sort of homework. Read Colossians chapter 3. Okay. I recommend you read that, because when I asked the Lord, Lord, what does this look like? Of course, the obvious answer is look at the life of Jesus. But there's details. And you see in Colossians 3, it says, put off wrath and anger and malice. Put on the new man, right? And it lists out these things. It talks about singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is a description of what it means to walk in light. Okay? So read Colossians and ask the Lord to speak to you. So, with this concept, when the Lord revealed it to me, after I got over about a month of wanting to just hide under a table, I'm a very practical person. I need not a formula, not rules, but I need instructions, because I am not the brightest bulb in the box, okay? I'm a hammer in search of a nail. I'm not a scalpel, all right? So, sometimes the Lord's instructions to me sound like Larry the Cable Guy wrote them. It's very basic. So he gave me some practical things, but there's absolute great depth in these. Okay, this is going to get really deep right here. So I asked him, Lord, what does this mean to walk in light? How do I do it? Because that's, if you just go up to somebody, it sounds really holy and cool to say, walk in light. That doesn't help me at all. Okay. So here's the first thing he told me to do. And this is a really super spiritual concept. Are you ready? You're on the edge of your seat? Stop it. That's the first thing. Here's the thing. In your spirit and in the new heart he gave you, you know exactly his heart and what he wants. And we all know the things that we allow ourselves to do. We allow ourselves to hate our neighbor. We allow ourselves to talk badly against the person next to us, or, you know, whatever the case may be. All those little things, we know. We know. And did you know that when you read in Colossians 3, like, for instance, here's a good example. This is actually in Ephesians. It says, let him who stole steal no longer. Stop. Is that too hard? Did you know that you can? That you can. Because here's the thing. This is something, the issues that I was dealing with, I felt were out of control. But did you know what you can do? Everybody can be absolutely still and absolutely quiet. No choice is an absolute choice, right? To stand still and force yourself not to move, not to speak, not to do anything is a choice, right? Because how many of you know, sometimes you need a span of victory from the thing you've struggled with to get ahead of it. Amen? You need a couple weeks of not, you know, here's a really easy one. Not talking badly to your husband or wife. Okay? Who's guilty of that? We all are. Sometimes it's like you do this thing and it cuts your heart because you're sensitive to God and you love God and you want to represent him well. And then when you go to get in the presence of God, that thing's staring you in the face, right? And so you don't want to do it. And over, it's Paul's condition in Romans 7. He's like, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. He's like, I'm a wretched human being. Who's ever felt that? Amen? So you need a span of time where you see what it's like to live without doing that same thing over and over. And sometimes it's just fear. Sometimes it's just, let's say you have money troubles frequently. And when that thing pops up, when you see a smaller number in the account cropping up, right? There's something in you that gets erratic. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be some blatant, super dark sin that I'm talking about. I'm just talking about God's best when we're not walking in his best, okay? But the super dark stuff applies. So that's the first thing is you can, I want to empower you because this is what the Lord told me. You can stop. You can, okay? And I will say this too, the one of the tactics he gave me through Pastor Wade was ask the Lord for wisdom to look for seeds that prompt these things within you. Because there's always something that prompts it in you. You know what I mean? Like for me, it was stress. Stress and things that made me anxious and angry and whatnot, right? So ask him about that. Now, here's why it's important to realize, here's the power of stop it. Let me say it that way. Did you know your actions will cause your heart to follow behind you? Let it sink in. See, a lot of times we're continuing in the thing we don't want to do and asking God to change our heart while it continues. But sometimes what God is saying is, stop it, go do this, and your heart will follow. Do you want proof? Where you give, where your treasure is, your heart will be. When you give, you attach your heart to it. So there's scriptural precedent that you can do something different and your heart will come along. Amen? Are you guys with me? Okay. Now, so we realize when we, whatever the thing is, because we all have got one, we recognize our heart can be affected by that negative action, right? We recognize that the way we live can have an impact on the rest of us as a whole. Well, the same principle is true in the reverse. If I go out of my way to do what I feel the Lord is asking me to do, I will be positively affected. It's true. A good example, last night we had that one meeting for where the pastor's fellowship. I didn't want to go. I was very tired. But guess what? I'm glad I went. Okay? So there's a perfect example. My heart was not connected to it. My mind was not connected to it. I forced my body to go, and I got blessed because of it. My heart caught up. Amen? Okay, so that's the first practical thing. You can stop. You can. And sometimes the best solution to stop is do nothing, because you realize if you do something, you're going to mess it up. Amen? Point number two, and this is where I'll spend the rest of the time here. Put it in the light. This is what I think the American church is absolutely horrible at. Because we have this thing where we feel like we have to appear as if and seem as though, and we have to protect our reputation, and we have to keep this lofty image. No. No. That's not light. Because here's, let me just crash that mirror. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes it. We're all broken, okay? We all have brokenness, let me say that way. So, let's talk about put it in the light. Hebrews 12, let's go there. There's a lot of purpose for putting it in the light, and we're going to talk about one of the most important. Sometimes, you know, if it's an injury, the reason we need to put it in the light is we want to get healed, right? Well, sometimes the reason to put something in the light, how many of you know, sometimes we need correction. Is that still a thing? Is that allowed? Seriously, because sometimes I say that the Lord wants to correct you, and people get mad. They get offended. All right. I don't feel bad for saying it. So, yeah, exactly. All right, so let's look at Hebrews. I have to prove this on the Word of God because it's offensive what we're about to talk about. Hebrews 12, look at verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about walking in light. We're talking about things that out of our flesh and our brokenness challenge the way we live. Amen? And you have forgotten the exhortation. Boy, this is so now. We have forgotten this exhortation. Listen to this. Which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For the Lord loves those he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. That's worth stopping. When I started going through what I was going through, the correction, because that's how I took it initially. When I discover something of myself that's negative, I'm like, God, please forgive me. And I want to be corrected. You know why? Because I don't want to crash. Right? I've been on a flight coming into New York before, and it was snowing sideways. And we're going in for a landing. And I'm looking out the side window, looking straight down the runway. He's having to do what's called a crosswind landing. He's completely landing sideways into the wind. That's a weird feeling, okay? And there's this point where I can see the lines on the runway, and all of a sudden we're going way outside of those lines. And I'm like, dude, you better correct it or take back off because I don't want to die today. I was scared, okay? Correction is good. Correction is good. Now, let me tell you, when he corrected it, the whole plane creaked. Because it was a hard correction. But guess what? The plane didn't crash. Correction's good. Amen? Let's continue. If you endure chastening, how many of us have felt the correction from the Lord and rolled our windows up and call it the devil? true. It's worth asking. Sometimes it's not condemnation. It's God going, what's this? What's this? We need to talk about this. What's this? Because that's what he does. He's not going to forget about it. He's not going to go, you know what? I tried for a week. You're serious about not wanting to hear about that. Let's move on to something else. Does that sound like him? No. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, he, you know what? 40 years can go by and he'll still be there doing this. He'll still be standing there saying, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens, I will come in and dine with him. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to come in and wreck your house. He wants to come in and be with you. But we got to put it in the light. Let's keep going. If you endure chastening, stay in it. Allow it to happen. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Let me tell you, if you don't get corrected by the Lord every once in a while, be concerned. Because you're either not listening, or I won't even go the other route, because that's pretty scary. Okay? Correction is good. And none of us are perfect, so, you know, we should hit a wall every once in a while if we're pressed in. Amen? Next one, verse 8. But if you were without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Whoo! That's got some burn on it. I don't even want to think about that. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I love how there's a result built in. Life. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit. Did you see that? This is good. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Did you know holiness is not a bad word? I've had people tell me, holiness is the law. What? No. Holiness is Christ in me. I won't even go down that road. I know, I don't think anybody in here believes that. If you do, come see me afterwards. But if you are, let's see, that's verse 8. Go to the next one. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yeah, it's quite obvious. It is not a good time. It's hard. It's really hard. Because the one we love the most, you hate to let down. But it's good to stay under that. Because in that place of pressure comes diamonds. In that place of pressure comes the change. We can't escape that. And this is just, there's two things that I'm really passionate about. And I don't quite have a clear view on it yet, but I feel like this type of stuff has to do with the call on my life. One of them is submission. That's like my favorite subject. Because that's something, particularly young people in this country, whew, it's like, boy, I'm glad I'm not your dad. I'd come after you with a belt. Like, whew, submission's a good thing. But correction, it's so valuable because we get so prideful and we think that we are so right all the time. But God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud who think there's nothing wrong. And listen, what I'm not saying is go find something wrong with you. But we all know, if we're honest, there's like a rock in your shoe sometimes. Something's off. Something's wrong. Or something happens in life and it brings up a past injury. Right? We got to deal with it. Put it in the light. Amen? All right, let's go to James chapter 5. We're almost done. James chapter 5 and verse 16. You can pull that one up. Confess your trespasses one to another Who wants to do that? That sounds about as fun as a chicken pox party. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Listen, this right here was the main scripture that got me started on this whole thing. And it sort of came on the heels. This correction started when we started the Godspeed thing, right? And this scripture means more than we give it weight. See, when I confess my sin to one of you, or the person, you know, my dad in the Lord, there's a reason. We can't just do this me and God thing. Your gift is for me. My gift is for you. Your gift is not for you to stay in a closet and not tell anybody about your problems. No. 1,000 times no. See, if we will be bold enough to open up to the people that we can trust and that know the Lord, do you realize what you have available to you? Your answer is in people. Their prayer for you avails much. Now, not only have you put light on it and robbed the problem of darkness, which is all the power the enemy has, but guess what else you've done? Now you get grace from the person you're confessing this to, and now they're on your side. They're praying for you. That can't be understated. Somebody who loves you with their whole heart and is praying for you is a powerful force. A powerful force. I don't even have a better way to say it in English yet. So again, when we bring things in the light, we rob it of power, we gain grace and the gift of our brother or sister that we've opened it up to, and now we have people on our side praying for us. The power of that, there's a reason God asked us to put it in light. If it stays in darkness, he can't do anything with it. Amen? All right, let's look at, we got two more scriptures to go. You guys okay? Have you unplugged? Don't lie. Put it in the light. All right, Luke 11 and verse 33. Let's go there. Now, this type of scripture and the way I'm going to read it, every time I hear something like this, I go, oh God, please don't let that be me. And I search myself. And that's the proper response, might I add. We should always search ourselves when we hear these types of scriptures. Listen to this. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. Okay. It talks about in James that God is the Father of lights. Well, you're the lights he's the Father of. So this lamp is you. God lit you, and he doesn't want you under a basket in darkness. Okay, listen, keep going. But on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, this is the part I want to get to, take heed. Whose responsibility is this right now? Okay? Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. Now, again, what I'm not saying is perfection. I'm saying honesty and openness. Okay? The whole body will be full of light. Now, here's my point. The deepest darkness there is light. I'm sorry. The deepest darkness there is darkness that thinks it's light. That looks at itself and says, no, this is good. This is okay. That's the deepest darkness there is. Because it's absolute deception. It's absolute pride. That's what Jesus is saying is, if you, that piece of darkness you say is okay, that will fill you entirely with darkness in a matter of time. How many of you have ever seen a small issue turn into a mountain in a couple years? right? Because it wasn't dealt with. It's no different. This comes back to the central things in our faith. Guard your heart, right? This is that concept. All right, and my last scripture, there's a result of walking in light. There's a reason. It's not just to check a box and say, look how good of a Christian I am. Did you know the abundant life that Jesus spoke about exists in this walk? The abundant life he has for us is not this playground he puts us in. You know, yes, we've been translated out of darkness and into a kingdom. But did you also know, I think it's in Colossians, it says that he's made us partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. A portion of your inheritance exists in light. You know, this is why when you see in the Word where it says, you know, list these things, you know, idolaters and adulterers and all these things will not inherit the kingdom. That's what it's saying. It's saying if you're going to walk in darkness, God can't give you the full life he promised you. Is that too deep? So the result is, and you can bring up John chapter 1. You know what the Bible definition of light is? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life of God is what we perceive as light. When someone's walking in light, what you are observing is the life of God. Do you see it? What the world is going to see in you, they'll call light, but it's the life of God. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. See, I believe the reason this is a now word, he's coming. He's not looking for a church perfect in works, but he's looking for his bride who's washed herself, right? He's interested in the way we live, not to earn righteousness. That's a gift. That's not up for debate. But I'm saying he's interested in the way we walk. He's interested in this light us to walk in. And I believe the reason this matters is he's trying to get us to wake up, like it says in Ephesians, wake up, you who sleep, arise, and Christ will give you light. Wake up. Don't let those dark corners stay any longer than they have to. What I would do if I were you is if in this you said, I know a dark corner, I would find the person that you are submitted to, that is your spiritual mom or dad, put in the light immediately, right away. And it's that easy. Amen? So, that's all. Did y'all get anything out of that? Amen. Well, that's all I got. I love you guys.
Man, what's amazing is a little before noon, today I'm like, okay, now make sure you got your PowerPoints today. He's like, I haven't had a minute to myself. And so I'm like, maybe you're not ministering today. Maybe I need to do this. So, and the Lord dropped a message in my heart, and I'm sitting in here with tears because it's the same scriptures, exactly the same. It's a little different. It's talking about being filled, because for me, last week had to come to terms with the fact that I'm just dry. I've been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And we're to minister from our abundance. If we're not getting filled, then there's no more to draw from. You can run a well dry. Are you with me? And so that's the place I kind of found myself. But just to go with this, this is Pastor Randy Lopshire's central message. This is what we learned from him. And it's in the book of Jude. I believe it's verse 6. It talks about the fallen angels. They didn't keep their proper domain. That's where giants came from. You read about it in Genesis chapter 6. That was the devil's attempt to pollute the stock of the earth so that Jesus couldn't be born in a human bloodline. People don't make giants. That was a cross-pollination, you might say. And so, anyway, not to get into all of that, but the fact is they didn't keep their proper domain. So today that can't happen. They were now chained to darkness. It's the only place that the enemy can operate is in darkness. And the Lord said to Pastor Randy, he said, you've gone as far as you can go in my plan for your life where you are. You have to have the testimony of Jesus. And he's like, the testimony of Jesus? What's that? And then he found it. The Lord showed it to him where Jesus said, the devil has come to me and found nothing in me. There's no place for him to operate. That's the testimony of Jesus. So what do? We literally expose our lives to the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. I would much rather hear from him what needs to change in my heart than to have a bunch of people come and tell me about it. It's much easier to deal with it that way. And it's not an easy thing. It's really not. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12. I wish I'd known he had that key. Stop it, because there's a Bob Newhart video I would have shown. It would have been perfect. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 1, it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's in your Bible. I didn't write it. And we teach our kids, don't say stupid, but that's in the book. Praise God. Because correction is a good thing. If I see Harrison doing something that draw the wrong kind of attention and possibly get him harmed, I need to correct that. Why do I correct that? Because I want to protect him. I want to help him. I want him successful. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to strip away all his fun. I'm trying to help him. And the Lord's trying to do the same with us. Amen. Praise God. Well, that was a great now word. Praise God.